from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Woo! Always feels good to hear that intro after a Padres win.
Padres.
Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right. On a Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
How is the how's the ankle over there?
Oh, man.
Has it turned into a cankle yet?
Not really.
Are you down to show everybody your I put my feet on the internet last week. Paulie rolled his ankle last night at basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not fun.
And he's got ice on it.
I do.
Is it cankly?
No, it's like red.
Just red, okay. Well, it's probably from the ice. The ice makes it red.
Real ice or frozen peas?
It's ice. We'll get to that in a second. Ben laid me out yesterday. Is it all right? You got it? Are you going to tape it up?
Yeah.
Where does that put your status for the Tier 1 game on Sunday?
Should be okay.
Okay.
Day to day.
No IL. Can I? No IL.
Day to day. Yeah.
Day to day. All right.
I mean,
well,
if you can't, you can always retroactively make.
Yeah,
the move.
I can put him on the IL. God.
No, I.
Now I'm going to have to do some roster manipulation and stuff. This is terrible.
I screwed up big time yesterday. Hooping at the gym.
Yeah.
It was open gym. Just running a couple of games. I rolled my ankle halfway through the first game.
God, I hate that feeling so much. Man, hold on. Ben Higgins is also here. Go ahead.
Hi, Ben.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
Good morning.
You're looking great.
Matt on a Max Headroom Wednesday.
Good morning.
I was telling my wife, she goes, I was like, yeah, I played like 2.5 more games after I rolled my ankle.
Oh, boy.
She goes, why the hell would you do that?
Because you have to. It's basketball.
And I said, look, I have played enough basketball in my life that when you go out there and you got these gym rats.
Yeah, these G's out there.
They already don't like having the fat white guy on their team.
They're like,
who doesn't
fine.
Look like he knows what he's doing? Now, I held my own. I played fine.
Played good, yeah.
But I rolled my ankle, and it was a very innocuous way. I didn't, like, get tangled up, you know, making a cool play or anything. I was going up for a rebound. I just kind of landed on another guy's foot, and it just rolled right under me, and it hurt so bad.
I don't have that gene, but my brother and my dad are that guy. They will not leave the basketball court unless they are...
already doesn't want me. I can't be the guy that's like, hey, I'm out. I rolled my ankle 4 points into the game. So I just ran.
They'll just gut it out all the way to the end, no matter what.
And I was like, I know this is going to hurt even worse now, but I got to do what I got to do.
Bro, the older I get, the slightest twinge, I'm like, no, that's it. I'm shutting it down. Because for me, it's a longevity. I want to play longer. I want, like, not that day. I want to play longer.
Right.
And in baseball, you don't have that much, especially me. Like, I'll play a few innings at first base. I usually just manage and hit. But when I run the bases, I'm like, ooh, there's a twinge in my groin. I'm out. Somebody pinch run.
That's the difference, though. They're, you know, my brother and my dad have played basketball all their lives and will never, you know, come off the court for an injury. They have to do, you know, the cold tub, and the QC kinetics and everything just to try to get every joint. Whereas, I'm pretty good when it comes to the joints. And the reason why is I feel like the tiniest twinge of anything,
I shut the mother down.
Let's rest for a week.
It's different for different sports and different injuries.
It is.
Like, if I was playing baseball, if I was pitching especially, if I had an elbow soreness, I'm not going to try to gut through that.
Yeah, dude.
But like a rolled ankle, you're like, I've already hurt it.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt either way.
It's not going to snap on me.
No.
All right. No, I get it. I totally get it. You're young. I'm old. The twinges. I have had a twinge in my groin for like 2 years now, and that's why. Somebody was in there making fun of me for sitting on this lacrosse ball, and I just sit. I jam it down in my groin. I don't do it for pleasure. It's not a pleasure filled union that I seek with this ball, but I just try to like situate it so I'm smashing that twinge all the time with this ball. So I get it, man. I hope you feel better, Paulie. I hope you're good to go on Sunday. We need you as we play the Clam Dusters.
You know what that means, Bill?
What does that mean, guys? What are we referring to? What is the double entendre with the Clam Dusters?
Like when you're doing like a clam bake and you dust it with spices all, just to make sure they taste fully delicious.
You get them.
They're a team full of mariners or seamen, and they...
Seamen. And you have to dust each clam before you boil it. Do you boil clams?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't eat... I would never know. I wouldn't eat the filthy things.
You just got to make sure they open before you eat them. You don't want to pry them open. Those are the bad clams. But if they're open and ready for you, you can eat them.
I love eating clams.
See my soul just leaving and flying out the window. This is going to be a bit of a weird transition after that. A very one. Very weird one. But I wanted to give a shout out to my mom, Mama Woods, who is...
Not that kind of shout out.
No, God, no. No, this is not a shout out to her family.
Shout out.
Because that would be bad.
Paulie, don't.
But this is a shout out. This is just a shout out.
Shout out.
If you are the... If you're the praying type, the keep someone in your thoughts, please keep my mom, Marsha Woods, in your thoughts. She is undergoing a lumpectomy today. She had talked a little bit about the blood cancer that is dormant, and she's got to go get it checked every 90 days or so. That's good to go. She's really good there and healthy. And then they found a lump, so they got to take that out. Take out her lymph nodes this morning. Mm. So she's in surgery right now. My dad's listening.
Good morning,
Gary. I'm not going to cry about it because she's not at all. Like, she is such a positive person. I mean, I talked to her last night. She's like, I'm going to get it out, and I'll probably have to do some radiation, and then I'm done with this. And she said, it will not break me. It will not beat me. So I'm not going to get upset about it. I don't really know how to talk about it, but I just wanted to tell her that I love her and that, you know, she's going to be fine. So she's a beast and always has been a beast. So she will be in surgery for, I think, about another hour. And then they've got a really nice setup there. My dad's going to take care of her. They think she can go home tomorrow, so which will be great. And then get this thing done. She thinks by September she'll be good to go. So shout out to my mom,
but not her family.
Shout out. Yeah, that's it. Just a shout out.
We're all thinking of Marcia, tier ones as well.
Yep,
and if you believe
awesome.
In the power of positive thinking, lots of good vibes coming her way from here in San Diego and beyond.
And I knew that would be an awkward transition, which is part of the reason why I did it, talking about what we were talking about before. But anyway, great game last night. Phenomenal game last night. A real testament to the starting pitching of this team. We will talk about that this morning. I got a new watch yesterday. I was very excited about it. You like that?
Yeah, very nice.
That's cool.
It's a Garmin. So this is one of those.
Those are the kind that tracks everything.
It tracks everything, but you know what else it
GPS.
Does? Golf.
Nice.
You can load golf courses on here, and it's like I can stand next to my ball and go, I got 210 to the flag or whatever. So it's got that capability.
Steps.
Step.
Counts your steps.
Of course it does steps, yep.
Good.
And it does. It's
all built into the watch because I have an Apple Watch,
yeah.
And I can have like the app that we use called the Grint for golfing.
Loaded on.
It's an app through the watch. It's not like built in.
Yeah, this
is got like pretty good GPS.
This has got really good GPS, nice. And it also it's waterproof. when I go do my cold tub, I can just get right in there, and which is a big feature. We got a cold tub in the backyard now. And
I remember it seemed like every other ad when I was growing up were for waterproof watches for scuba divers.
Right.
And going, are there that many people who scuba dive? And then are there that many people that really need to wear their watch when they're going down, you know, 20 meters under the water? Is that something that's a valuable, desired commodity in a watch?
You know, I don't know. What there's probably reason they wear it.
I don't want my watch to stop working if you accidentally drop it in the sink or something.
Right.
So, you know, waterproof is good, but the ones that keep working when you're down, like, 100 meters below the water, I'm going,
I'm never going to
have any use for that.
Yeah. I mean, for them, though, yeah, you want to know the depth. And
I'm always hesitant to test it. Like,
me too. The first dive in, you're like,
in a pool,
this isn't going to work.
Even taking a shower with your watch, like my Apple Watch, it's like, oh, it says it's waterproof. And I'm like, I'll be the one where it'll start shorting out.
So we're going to Hawaii on Tuesday. We're going to be taking a ton of hikes, probably more than I desire, but we're going to do that. I've committed to it. And so I want to track. I want to know kind of where we are.
And when you do your cliff diving.
When we dive off the cliffs.
You'll be fine because it'll be waterproof.
I'll be good to go. My wife rolled her eyes so hard when I told her what watch I was getting. So hard. She's like, isn't that for like triathletes and stuff? I'm like, yeah, it's popular in the triathlete world. Don't worry. One thing I can promise you, I'm not about to start doing Ironmans. Like my little brother, who just finished another one on Sunday in Lake Placid, 15 and a half hours.
Oh.
He did another Ironman. He finished it. And here's me over here. And I'm like, I just like this watch because it looks cool. It's got the golf feature. And I can take it in the cold tub with me. That's why I bought it. So, yeah, she rolled her eyes pretty hard at me. But I love this thing, man. I love this thing. It's really cool. I haven't even messed with all the doodads on it yet. Got it last night when we got home from Frozen Robes. Got it charged up and got to add a bunch of stuff to it. So it's
Squirrely says, when you're in Hawaii, beware the waterfall flash floods. My neighbor was almost killed there last month in Kauai. So be careful, Woods. We want you to come back safe and sound.
I've seen all kinds of things. There's the jellyfish and man o' war and... something's going to happen. It's me. I'm not going to get through this thing unscathed. I mean, I think we all can agree today that I'm not going to come home unscathed from this trip. But really looking forward to it. Leave on Tuesday. Was thinking about your response to me yesterday, Ben. Was in the grocery store. And I said, man, Benny will absolutely knock one out of the park on you sometimes. And I'm at the grocery store getting a couple of necessary things. We had run out of bread, make the kids lunches. So I got to get some bread. Had to get some grapes. Had to get some plates. And I had to get some protein waffles for Bo. That's what he likes to eat for breakfast. The Kodiak protein waffles. So I would go in and get those.
Do you like him to like those?
I don't
like
them.
Wouldn't you just rather have an Eggo waffle?
Well, I think...
Kodiak's good.
They need protein.
Well, right.
But I didn't buy it. My wife bought these for him, and she's the one that makes them. I'm not home at breakfast time, so she handles all that, but I went and bought them. So I was standing in line, and I looked at the dude in front of me, and he goes, how you doing? I go, good. And I glanced down at the belt and what he had on the belt, and he had a bottle of Hershey's syrup, a bag of frozen peas, and a can of Crisco lard. And I
just those three things.
That's it.
That was the extent of his list.
And I said, now I didn't do the thing where I like took a picture, but I did text you. I was a little bit invasive in that I texted my buddies, Ben and Paul, and I said, this is an odd combo. I said, he's got Crisco and Hershey syrup and frozen peas on his deal. And what did you say? What did you respond?
I said, maybe he's...
Oh, here it is. I got it. Found it. Eating lard sundaes after his vasectomy. And it took him 2 seconds to write that joke. And I died laughing. I mean, you laid me out in the store as I was checking out.
Just trying to, you know, it's like Chopped. You've got to put the ingredients together in some meaningful fashion. I'm going, how can you put together frozen peas, Crisco, Hershey's chocolate syrup?
He goes home. and he puts the peas on his nuts, and then he
gets a bowl
scoop
of Crisco and covers it in chocolate sauce.
Chocolate sauce, and goes to town. I go, Benny. It was like that's an odd combo. That's a very, very it might be the oddest combo I think I've ever seen. Really. Like you see some stuff and I like to piece together what they're up to. I'm like, oh, you're making chicken and oh there's that you're gonna make chicken and veggies, a little stir fry sauce. I know what you're up to tonight. This, I had no idea.
Throw in like Pacific halibut and you have a chopped basket. Ted Allen's giving you. Your ingredients are Pacific halibut, Crisco, Hershey's chocolate syrup
and
frozen peas.
Yeah,
you have 20 minutes to create an appetizer.
I think you could do it with all of those, with all the chocolate sauces, like the drizzle on top of the fish, which would be not good. But, man, you laid me out with that yesterday, Benny. So let's get into some Padres baseball talk. Benny will he'll set the mood and set the menu next.
Oh, do we have an exciting show? We teased it yesterday. If you missed it, I'll tell you who we have coming on later on the program today. Should be a very good Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. Kelly's going to check traffic, and then we're right back with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We are going full old school radio today, as one of our main computer drives is down, and Paulie is over there having to act like Merlin, the wizard, trying to put stuff together.
It's I don't know how else to explain it. Like, we have a shared network drive that the entire station uses, and in that drive, there is a Bennett Woods folder. That Bennett Woods folder has literally everything we have ever done, especially since we started here at 97.3 in June of 2019, and a little bit beyond that. Every bend dropped, and then things texted me. He goes, "Yeah, the drives are bad. I've got new drives on the way. Hope to have it fixed, you know, sometime tomorrow."
So if it's gone, like all of Ben's likes are gone,
I think everything you've ever said is
gone. Do I have to like start recreating them?
Okay.
Ooh, I like it creamy. Oh, I like the crispiness of the waffle.
It's pretty
I
good.
Like a Nickelback song or two.
That's so he's a pro. I mean, yeah. It all sounds perfect. Give me your oh my god.
Oh my god.
That's not bad. That's not bad
See,
at
I
all.
I have that one.
Oh, you have
oh,
one.
Oh my god.
Okay, good.
I have some that were already like they're logged in. They're not going anywhere. But if this were to happen,
if we lose that stuff, my hair's going to fall out.
I like
more of a firm filling.
I texted our engineer. I said, "Now, when you get these new drives, I don't know anything about this. Will you be able to recover? Because we're talking years of material, buddy." And he has not responded yet. So I'm
freaking out. I like
Chase
Tingler too.
You know, told you guys like in the Rinder Report one time. Remember we were talking about the college football 25 announcers, how they had to sit in
yes,
a studio
and do
for
every word,
like,
ganja,
weeks.
AKA cannabis.
That's what we're gonna have to have Ben do. I'm gonna lock you in a studio, and you are going to recreate every one of the thousands of Ben drops that we've had.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do what you have to do. The show must go on, man. So I think
I like big butts.
I think what we have to do. So the Padres wrap up's obviously going to sound a little different today because we don't have the backbone.
That
for
is
it.
Coming up in some sort of weird version.
Yeah, hey, tune in
next.
For that because you don't know what's going to happen.
And we will
I think
go
I
through
got
the game
good for you guys.
Okay, good.
We will go through the game in our 6:35 segment. Huge show today, though. After our regular features, 7:15 with Take on Woods and Don't Do This, 7:35 begins our Big League Wednesday. It's been a couple of weeks. We will catch up with Adam Jones. He went to the All-Star game. He's been all over the place. He's traveling the country, getting a lot of baseball in. So we will catch up with AJ at 7:35 in our 8 o'clock hour. Brett Boone will be back with us, as he has been most Wednesdays. Always great talking to Brett Boone. And then at 9:25, we will be joined by the current holder of the Claret Jug, Xander Schauffele, fresh off his Open Championship win, and talked to San Diego's rising golf star, two majors this year. And I thought about it. Xander Schauffele holds three of the coolest, like, sports prizes possible.
No.
The gold
question.
Medal
gold
at
medal.
The Olympics.
Yep, seen it. Seen his gold medal in person. It's mind-blowing.
The Wanamaker Trophy, which you might not know as well if you're not a golf fan, but it's this giant PGA Championship cup thing, trophy that you win.
Drink booze out of it.
And then the Claret Jug, one of the oldest, coolest trophies imaginable. And he's got all three of them now.
The other one, he needs to win a Masters.
Yeah, green jacket is, and then a Stanley Cup, and he's good.
A Stanley Cup, going to be more difficult, I think. Unless he takes his money, buys a hockey team, and they win, which, hey, absolutely feasible for him.
He won $3.1 million just for the Open, a record first place prize. So he's on his way to buying his hockey team and winning the Stanley Cup.
That would be incredible. And what's the other major? What am I forgetting?
The U.S. Open. Just has U.S. Open trophy.
Yeah, which is awesome.
It's cool, yeah. But
the Claret Jug.
The Claret Jug and the Wanamaker
is amazing.
Really, like, spectacular prizes to win, and he's got both of them at his, you know, in his trophy case now.
When we saw him at the Wishbone over at Goat Hill, shout out to Goat Hill, he brought his gold medal there to show all the kids and stuff, and he had it, and, like, I was right there next to it. I'd never seen one up close. I've gotten the participation medals in school. You know, you finished fourth in the long jump or something at field day, you see this thing, man, in front of you, and you just go, okay, I get it. That's unbelievable. So now he's got to be, what, in Paris?
Well, I'm not sure. The tournament starts August 1st, so I'm sure practice runs, but I don't know if he came home and then is going back or if he stayed in Europe for that extra week. And
I know because I've been working with his team.
Yeah.
For this interview, I don't know if I should say where he's at, but he's international.
He's still international.
Hampton Inn down on. He's in room 326. Knock on the door.
All right, so
he's international.
I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to fly back for like 5 days and then go all the way back to Paris.
No.
International does make some sense. So we will time shift and talk to Xander Schauffele coming up. That's scheduled for 9:25, very specifically this morning. But if you're a golf fan or just love top San Diego athletes,
San Diego fan,
boom.
Yeah, I mean,
Xander
if you don't
Schauffele.
Listen to that interview, you clearly hate San Diego, and I don't know what to tell you. That could never be me. So you're going to make sure you listen to that at 9:30. Xander's a great dude. Very happy for him.
All right, we'll see what Paul has come up with.
I got a curveball for him, too.
Makeshift.
Oh, love curveballs.
Padres wrap-up in our next segment, minus our usual opens and effects and highlights that we usually get. So
we'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. We will talk about last night's 4-0 win, third in a row for the San Diego Padres. We will be right back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Going to see what Paulie's come up with for our Padres wrap-up, minus some of his critical elements. Now, you have a few things that are left on, like, a different computer.
So yeah, on, like, a button bar.
Like, you have random stuff.
Yeah.
But not booty, 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 C's. Booty, right. Rocking everywhere.
Club Pilates.
Yes!
You do a great job.
I broke my back.
I still have some.
Still have some things.
Like, I have these, a button bar is what it's called. And I got probably 100 drops saved on those.
So we can get by.
But we're talking, like, 10,000 drops. On the drive that is still TBD.
I don't even know what I would do.
How did you gain all the weight?
Oh, thank God. Yeah, that one.
Thank God. Ha ha. But, so I don't know how this is going to sound, but I was able to put something together for a Padres wrap-up, because we have to do it.
Got to do it.
You know, it's sponsored by Jamul Casino, Jamul. And so what I did is I just went and pulled from yesterday's post-game show. If you listen to the Padres post-game show,
good idea.
Sammy plays the highlights, and he doesn't just play them back-to-back-to-back. He interjects and he goes, and then we go to the sixth inning with runners on second.
So we got
and third.
That too.
So
nice.
I just put it all together.
Genius.
All right, we will repurpose Sammy's post game show for our Padres wrap up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God.
Both young starting pitchers were locked in early on. DJ Hurst started his day with 4 scoreless innings for the Nats. The Padres loaded the bases in the top of the fourth inning, but they did not score. Randy Vasquez was at just 40 pitches through 4 scoreless frames of his own. That brought us to the top of the fifth inning. At first, it was more of the same for the Padres offense. Hurst went 2 up, 2 down, but then it was Luis Arraez who dug in.
1-2, Arraez hits it in the air to right field, pretty deep. Thomas is backing up, he's at the big wall, looks up, gonna go! Luis Arraez with his third home run as a Padre. And a couple of pitches after they knock him down, he takes one out, and the Padres lead it 1-0.
Padres weren't done, and Jerks and Profar was next.
Now Profar sticks it to deep left and gone over the Padre bullpen. And on back-to-back pitches, they hit back-to-back home runs, and it's 2-0.
Third home run for Arraez, the 15th home run of the season for Jerks and Profar. And just like that, the Padres had a 2-0 lead. Meanwhile, Randy Vasquez kept rolling. A 1-2-3 fifth inning on just 10 pitches. Manny Machado led off with a double to begin the top of the sixth inning. He went to third base on a ground out. That set things up for Jackson Merrill.
Pitch to Merrill is lined into right field. That's a base hit. That's going to add on. Manny trots home from third base. Jackson Merrill's second hit of the night is an RBI single. And the Padres up 3-0.
Vasquez needed 15 pitches for a scoreless sixth inning. He was at just 65 pitches through 6 brilliant innings. He pitched into the seventh and allowed a leadoff double. Padres then decided to go to Adrian Morejon. He finished the inning without a whole lot of trouble. Padres still had a 3-0 lead. Jeremiah Estrada came on. The last chance for Washington was James Wood.
0-2 pitch, Wood swings and misses, strike 3, 100-mile-an-hour heater to close the door, and the ball game is over. Padres come to Washington, and they continue to pitch a 4-0 shutout win over the Nationals behind Randy Vasquez and back-to-back home runs from Luis Arraez and Jerkson Profar.
Well done by Sammy.
Well done by Sammy. Well done by Jesse. Well done by Paulie. And well done by the San Diego Padres last night. That fired me up. It was a little bit of a disjointed Padres game for me. Got to watch a lot of it. Then we had to drive up to Frozen Rope, so Bo and I listened to it. Then I had to watch an inning on my phone, and then I listened to the very end. And just what a great – I didn't see the Estrada error. I heard it. I heard Jesse talking about it, and Tony as well. And that play, I don't know why it's such a bugaboo for pitchers, but it absolutely is. It the hot shot right back to you, and you see the guys usually will jog over and underhand.
Yeah, and it looked like he kind of wanted to do that and then saw the runner was going a little faster than he was hoping, so he decided to kind of overhand shove, push it, and then it just sailed right over Jake's head. Well, I mean, way over his head.
And Jesse was talking about on the broadcast that Higgy came out and Xander came up, and it's just one of those things where you don't want to let that thing get away from you after a bonehead. Giving away an out is such a tough thing to do. And you know, having now to get four outs instead of three, essentially, it guts you when you're on the mound and when you make a bonehead decision. And good veteran leadership there to come over and say, hey, don't worry about it. And he got out of it, got the next guys, and all was well. But a really, really great game last night, Benny. This thing of, like, you throw up and in and then we hit a homer, I can get behind.
So that was a great call by Jesse.
Great call.
You know, pointed out that Luis Arraez took one. I mean, it was going to drill him. Yeah. He ended up fouling it off, but it was right by his injured thumb, like way up on the handle. And clearly, you know, it's bothering him. You can see it. He hasn't been quite as locked in, probably because of that thumb injury. But then three pitches later, the guy who rarely hits an extra base hit and had only two home runs all season gets one. I mean, that didn't go out by much, but doesn't have to go out by much. Just first row out in right center, and that's what the Padres needed. Rattled hers, and then Jurickson, the next pitch, I think it was.
It was.
Took one out to left field, and
it was
they were off and running.
It was a changeup down the middle that it's like Jurickson knew what was coming. He leaned on that pitch. He hit that ball. Well, I don't even know the exit velo of it, but he tattooed that thing. I mean, he got it center cut, and he was waiting on the changeup, and he just pounded it. And hers was good.
Yeah.
He was really good. He was effective. He was pounding the zone. He was 95, like, very, very impressive outing. That's another one of those kids to look out for down the road, man, once he kind of figures it out. But the Padres had his number when they faced him the last time. They hit him pretty well last night, and it was nice. It was nice dub.
The stat I heard on Sammy's pregame show was that he gets the third most swing and miss on his four-seam fastball.
That's nuts.
Like anyone in baseball.
That's nuts.
Kirby Yates was one above him, but he does have some nasty
stuff. Four-seamer.
Yeah, he's got a good fastball that is hard for big league hitters to hit, but it wasn't a fastball that Jurickson took out.
Nobody could get it on top of the ball at all. I mean, everyone got on top of the ball. Everybody was grounding out early. It was just Randy rollover followed by Randy rollover until Arraez had that really good AB, and then Profar gave us the lead and never looked back. And a couple of really good moments last night. Jackson Merrill getting that insurance run in was really solid. Manny doubled. Merrill drove him in, right?
Yep. Merrill had a really good game.
Really good game.
Two for four. And then had the other with the, at least made contact with the bases loaded to get the other run home. So really solid game for Jackson, who had about, I think 10, you know, his mom and dad were there as they usually are, but he had more friends and family because he's from Merrillland, he will
Merrillland.
Be, I guess there's going to have like 500 people going to the games in Camden Yards.
500.
Like Jackson Merrill has a crowd of 500 people going to the games this weekend.
I think it's so cool. Obviously, his whole family able to be there when they're on those East Coast trips like that. And then his parents, I think they're both teachers, right?
Yeah.
So they have the summers off. Like, they've been able to see a ton of his games, whether they're here in San Diego. I know they were up in Boston. Like, I think it's great that he gets to get, like, a traveling party with him throughout the year.
If either of my kids plays beyond high school, I will be at every, if they go to school in Vermont, I'll be there. I will move to Vermont. I can't imagine. I get such joy watching them play. I can't imagine what it's like to watch them play at Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium. Or like, can you imagine the terror that you feel every time he takes the field or takes an AB, how proud you are?
Do you think, I mean, they're teachers, obviously.
Yeah.
Is Jackson picking up the tab for all the travel?
Got to.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Got to.
But as a parent, I would never want to ask, like, my child to pay for something for me. I would feel like that would be so hard to do.
Now, that's a question. I don't want to ask him that question ever. It's none of our business how they get around. But I do think that's... They love being there.
He's making
there.
The minimum, which is still about $800,000.
If anybody in Manny Machado's family wants to go on a road trip and watch him play, it's a no-brainer.
It's on the house.
But Jackson's making league minimum.
I mean, league minimum is still a decent, really decent living.
Yeah.
And for a couple of teachers, you know, like, yeah, he's going
to
fly
and he's well on his way to signing a huge deal at some point.
You can bet, you can hedge a little bit, right? Mom, Dad, I opened up a credit card with a massive limit. We're going to be fine. I'm going to put it on the card. We got it. Just got a thing in the chat, and I'm glad that Braves, let's see. Braves Ear Robin 88 says this. This is great because you tweeted about it last night. Hey, Woodsy, was wondering what your take on Kim's two-out bunt hit was. Watching it last night, I thought the Nats were probably happy to get the left-on-left matchup to get out of the inning. Braves Robin 88, I could not agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. Now, I don't want to walk back what I said. I did say yesterday, and I always say, hey, bunting for a hit's pretty cool. But situationally there, you're going to... You're not playing well right now if you're Ha-Sung Kim. You're not hitting the ball well. You turn it over to Jackson, left side, 95, you know, tough, tough lefty. Jackson, I think, ended up striking out in that at-bat, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't particularly like that bunt from Ha-Sung Kim.
It's a bad play.
It's a bad play.
I don't think there's really another side to the argument. I tweeted it out, didn't like it. A couple people pushed back. I mean, he got a base hit. He's been struggling. Do whatever you can to keep the inning going. I kind of understand that, but I really think, and Mike Schilt will never admit it. In fact, I don't think I'm going to even ask him about it it was a winning game. But
away from
I would imagine that there was a conversation.
Yeah, you need to be drug tested.
I would imagine there was a conversation after the game, like with Ha-Sung Kim, going, I know you got a hit there. That doesn't really help the team. You have to try to drive in that run in scoring position with two outs in that situation, as opposed to sending a rookie left-handed hitter up against a tough, hard-throwing left-handed pitcher. That's not the matchup we're looking for. We're looking for you to drive the ball into the gap and drive in one, maybe two runs there. And I know you've been struggling. I know the third baseman's playing way back. You know why he's playing way back?
Because
he wants you to bunt that ball.
Yeah, he wants
you. He wants you to try to bunt that ball because the worst thing that happens for the Nationals is that you're on first, the bases are loaded, and they've got the matchup they want.
Yep.
It's just...
You played right into their hands, right?
Yes.
You gave them a better matchup. And I can certainly understand him struggling. I can understand him wanting to make a play. Now, listen. They could throw the ball away at first base, running in on a bunt, trying to make a play. Sure, that stuff happens. But Ha-Sung Kim and I promise you, not come from the dugout.
No,
you know that's a Kimmy move. And again, he's trying to make a play. I tip my hat to it, but I also think in that situation, you got to swing away. You got to.
I do not subscribe to the Padres fans who think that Ha-Sung Kim is a low IQ baseball player.
No.
He's not. When he's pressing, he does tend to make some mistakes. Base running mistakes. We've seen him fielding mistakes this year, and now just a bad decision at the plate. Because he's been pressing and, you know, he's feeling it. But he's a smart baseball player. He knows what he's doing out there.
Yeah.
You can tell. You can tell.
The play he made, it was a terrible base running job by Yepes, but you know, the wherewithal to make the throw to third, get that lead guy there if you're Ha-Sung Kim. He's a smart baseball player. He's a good baseball player. He plays really, really hard. But yeah, they absolutely played into the Nationals' hands in that. And they got the matchup they wanted and they got out of that inning. So,
and by the way, even if Jackson Merrill had hit a grand slam, it's still the wrong decision. You can't go by the result. Someone said, you tweeted that out after Jackson struck out. It doesn't matter what Jackson does. That's baseball. The idea is make the most right decisions possible.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like 30% of the time, it works out for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, and sometimes you'll make the wrong decision and it works out because that's baseball. But that was not, in my opinion, the right decision by Ha-Sung Kim to lay down a bunt there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's nitpicky after a 4-0 win, and he did make that nice defensive play. But to get him going, you know, he needs to yak one in the gap and score two runs there. And he's absolutely capable of doing it.
Now, if we lost some of the audio, question is, do we still have the incorporator from Jesse Agler last night?
I was able to pull
that. Okay,
the
good.
Setup and the execution.
Great calls there from Jesse, especially on that Arise home run.
Did you hear his little snark early in the game when Jurickson and Profar came up? Jesse Agler said, and the dozens of fans here boo him. I said, God, I love snarky
he is
Jesse.
An assassin.
Just boo.
Gonna see what Paulie's come up with for our Padres wrap-up, minus some of his critical elements. Now, you have a few things that are left on, like, a different computer.
So yeah, on, like, a button bar. Yeah,
like, you have random stuff.
Yeah.
But not
booty, 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 C's. Booty, right. Rocking everywhere.
Club Pilates.
Yes! Sam, you do a great job.
I broke my back.
I still have some.
Still have some things.
Like, I have these, yeah, a button bar is what it's called. And I got probably 100 drops okay. saved okay. on those.
So we can get by.
But we're
today.
Talking, like, 10,000 drops. On the drive that is still TBD.
I don't even know what I would do.
How did you gain all the weight?
Oh, thank God. Yeah, that one.
Thank God. God.
Ha ha.
But, yeah, so I don't know how this is exactly is going to sound, but I was able to put something together for a Padres wrap-up because we have to do it.
Got to do it.
You know, it's sponsored by Jamul Casino, Jamul. And so what I did is I just went and pulled from yesterday's post-game show. If you listen to the Padres post-game show,
good idea.
Sammy plays the highlights, and he doesn't just play them back-to-back-to-back. He interjects and he goes, and then we go to the sixth inning
yes.
with runners on second.
So we got
and third.
That too.
So
nice.
I just put it all together.
Genius.
All right. We will repurpose Sammy's post game show for our Padres wrap up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God.
Both young starting pitchers were locked in early on. DJ Hurz started his day with four scoreless innings
yes.
for the Nats. The Padres loaded the bases in the top of the fourth inning, but they did not score. Randy Vasquez was at just 40 pitches through four scoreless frames of his own. That brought us to the top of the fifth inning. At first, it was more of the same for the Padres offense. Hurz went two up, two down, but then it was Luis Arraez who dug in.
1-2, Arraez hits it in the air to right field, pretty deep. Thomas is backing up, he's at the big wall, looks up, gonna go! Luis Arraez with his third home run as a Padre. And a couple of pitches after they knock him down, he takes one out, and the Padres lead it 1-0.
Padres weren't done, and Jerks and Profar was next.
Now Profar sticks it to deep left and gone over the Padre bullpen. And on back-to-back pitches, they hit back-to-back home runs, and it's 2-0.
Third home run for Arraez, the 15th home run of the season for Jerks and Profar. And just like that, the Padres had a 2-0 lead. Meanwhile, Randy Vasquez kept rolling. A 1-2-3 fifth inning on just 10 pitches. Manny Machado led off with a double to begin the top of the sixth inning. He went to third base on a ground out. That set things up for Jackson Merrill.
Pitch to Merrill is lined into right field. That's a base hit. That's going to add on. Manny trots home from third base. Jackson Merrill's second hit of the night is an RBI single. And the Padres up 3-0.
Vasquez needed 15 pitches for a scoreless sixth inning. He was at just 65 pitches through six brilliant innings. He pitched into the seventh and allowed a leadoff double. Padres then decided to go to Adrian Morejon. He finished the inning without a whole lot of trouble. Padres still had a 3-0 lead. Jeremiah Estrada came on. The last chance for Washington was James Wood.
0-2 pitch, Wood swings and misses, strike 3, 100-mile-an-hour heater to close the door, and the ball game is over. Padres come to Washington, and they continue to pitch a 4-0 shutout win over the Nationals behind Randy Vasquez and back-to-back home runs from Luis Arraez and Jerkson Profar.
Well done by Sammy.
Well done by Sammy. Well done by Jesse. Well done by Paulie. And well done by the San Diego Padres last night. That fired me up. It was a little bit of a disjointed Padres game for me. Got to watch a lot of it. Then we had to drive up to Frozen Rope, so Bo and I listened to it. Then I had to watch an inning on my phone, and then I listened to the very end. And just what a great – I didn't see the Estrada error. I heard it. I heard Jesse talking about it and Tony as well. And that play, I don't know why it's such a bugaboo for pitchers, but it absolutely is. The hot shot right back to you, and you see the guys usually will jog over and underhand.
Yeah, and it looked like he kind of wanted to do that and then saw the runner was going a little faster than he was hoping, so he decided to kind of overhand shove, push it, and then it just sailed right over Jake's head.
Well,
I mean, way over his head.
And Jesse was talking about on the broadcast that Higgy came out and Xander came up, and it's just one of those things where You don't want to let that thing get away from you after a bonehead. Giving away an out is such a tough thing to do. And you know, having now to get four outs instead of three, essentially, it guts you when you're on the mound and when you make a bonehead decision. And good veteran leadership there to come over and say, hey, don't worry about it. And he got out of it, got the next guys, and all was well. But a really, really great game last night, Benny. This thing of, like, you throw up and in and then we hit a homer, I can get behind that.
So that was a great call by Jesse.
Great call.
Pointed out that Luis Arraez took one. I mean, it was going to drill him. Yeah. He ended up fouling it off, but it was right by his injured thumb, like way up on the handle. And clearly, you know, it's bothering him. You can see it. He hasn't been quite as locked in, probably because of that thumb injury. But then three pitches later, the guy who rarely hits an extra base hit and had only two home runs all season gets one. I mean, that didn't go out by much, but doesn't have to go out by much. Just first row out in right center, and that's what the Padres needed. Rattled hers, and then Jurickson, the next pitch, I think it was.
It was.
Took one out to left field, and
it was
they were off and running.
It was a changeup down the middle that it's like Jurickson knew what was coming. He leaned on that pitch. He hit that ball. Well, I don't even know the exit velo of it, but he tattooed that thing. I mean, he got it center cut, and he was waiting on the changeup, and he just pounded it. And hers was good.
Yeah,
he was really good. He was effective. He was pounding the zone. He was 95, like, very, very impressive outing. That's another one of those kids to look out for down the road, man, once he kind of figures it out. But the Padres had his number when they faced him the last time. They hit him pretty well last night, and it was nice. It was
nice dub. The stat I heard on Sammy's pregame show was that he gets the third most swing and miss on his four-seam fastball.
That's nuts.
Like anyone in baseball.
That's nuts.
Kirby Yates was one above him, but he does have some nasty
stuff. Four-seamer.
Yeah, he's got a good fastball that is hard for big league hitters to hit, but it wasn't a fastball that Jurickson took out.
Nobody could get it on top of the ball at all. I mean, everyone got on top of the ball. Everybody was grounding out early. It was just Randy rollover followed by Randy rollover until Arraez had that really good AB, and then Profar gave us a lead and never looked back. And a couple of really good moments last night. Jackson Merrill getting that insurance run in was really solid. Manny doubled. Merrill drove him in, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because
Merrill had a really good game.
Really good
two
game.
2 for 4. And then had the other with the, at least made contact with the bases loaded to get the other run home. So really solid game for Jackson, who had about, I think 10, you know, his mom and dad were there as they usually are, but he had more friends and family because he's from Maryland, I guess there's going to have like 500 people going to the games in Camden Yards.
500.
Like Jackson Merrill has a crowd of 500 people going to the games this weekend.
I think it's so cool. Obviously, his whole family able to be there when they're on those East Coast trips like that. And then his parents, I think they're both teachers, right?
Yeah.
So they have the summers off. Like, they've been able to see a ton of his games, whether they're here in San Diego. I know they were up in Boston. Like, I think it's great that he gets to get like a traveling party with him throughout the year.
If either of my kids plays beyond high school, I will be at every, if they go to school in Vermont, I'll be there. I will move to Vermont. I can't imagine. I get such joy watching them play. I can't imagine what it's like to watch them play at Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium. Or like, can you imagine the terror that you feel every time he takes the field or takes an AB, how proud you are?
Do you think, I mean, they're teachers, obviously.
Yeah.
Is Jackson picking up the tab for all the travel?
Got to.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Got to.
But as a parent, I would never want to ask, like, my child to pay for something for me. I would feel like that would be so hard to do.
Now, that's a question. I don't want to ask him that question ever. It's none of our business how they get around. But I do think that's... They love being
there. He's making
there.
The minimum, which is still about $800,000.
If anybody in Manny Machado's family wants to go on a road trip and watch him play, it's a no-brainer.
It's on the house.
But Jackson's making league minimum.
I mean, league minimum is still a decent, really decent living.
Yeah.
For a couple of teachers, you know, like, yeah, he's going
to
fly.
And he's well on his way to signing a huge deal at some point.
You can bet. You can hedge a little bit, right? Mom, Dad, I opened up a credit card with a massive limit. We're going to be fine. I'm going to put it on the card. We got it. Just got a thing in the chat, and I'm glad that Braves, let's see, Braves, Ear Robin 88. says this. This is great because you tweeted about it last night. Hey, Woodsy, was wondering what your take on Kim's two-out bunt hit was. Watching it last night, I thought the Nats were probably happy to get the left-on-left matchup to get out of the inning. Braves, Robin, 88. I could not agree with you more. Now, I don't want to walk back what I said. I did say yesterday, and I always say, hey, bunting for a hit's pretty cool. But situationally there, you're not playing well right now if you're Ha-Sung Kim. You're not hitting the ball well. You turn it over to Jackson, left side, 95, you know, tough, tough lefty. Jackson, I think, ended up striking out in that at bat, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't particularly like that bunt from Ha-Sung Kim.
It's a bad play. I don't think there's really another side to the argument. I tweeted it out, didn't like it. A couple people pushed back. I mean, he got a base hit. He's been struggling. Do whatever you can to keep the inning going. I kind of understand that, but I really think, and Mike Schilt will never admit it. In fact, I don't think I'm going to even ask him about it. It was a winning game, but
away from
I would imagine that there was a conversation.
Yeah, you need to be drug tested.
I would imagine there was a conversation after the game, like with Ha-Sung Kim, going, I know you got a hit there. That doesn't really help the team. You have to try to drive in that run in scoring position with two outs in that situation, as opposed to sending a rookie left-handed hitter up against a tough, hard-throwing left-handed pitcher. That's not the matchup we're looking for. We're looking for you to drive the ball into the gap and drive in one, maybe two runs there. And I know you've been struggling. I know the third baseman's playing way back. You know why he's playing way back?
Because
he wants you to bunt that ball.
He wants
you to try to bunt that ball, because the worst thing that happens for the Nationals is that you're on first, the bases are loaded, and they've got the matchup they want.
Yep.
It's just...
You played right into their hands, right?
Yes.
You gave them a better matchup. And I can certainly understand him struggling. I can understand him wanting to make a play. Now, listen. They could throw the ball away at first base, running in on a bunt, trying to make a play. Sure, that stuff happens. But Ha-Sung Kim and I promise you, not come from the dugout.
No,
you know that's a Kimmy move. And again, he's trying to make a play. I tip my hat to it, but I also think in that situation, you got to swing away. You got to.
I do not subscribe to the Padres fans who think that Ha-Sung Kim is a low IQ baseball player.
No.
He's not. When he's pressing, he does tend to make some mistakes. Base running mistakes. We've seen him fielding mistakes this year, and now just a bad decision at the plate. Because he's been pressing and, you know, he's feeling it. But he's a smart baseball player. He knows what he's doing out there.
Yeah.
You can tell. You can tell.
The play he made, it was a terrible base running job by Yepes, but you know, the wherewithal to make the throw to third, get that lead guy there if you're Ha-Sung Kim. He's a smart baseball player. He's a good baseball player. He plays really, really hard. But yeah, they absolutely played into the Nationals' hands in that. And they got the matchup they wanted and they got out of that inning. So,
and by the way, even if Jackson Merrill had hit a grand slam, it's still the wrong decision. You can't go by the result. Someone said, you tweeted that out after Jackson struck out. It doesn't matter what Jackson does. That's baseball. The idea is make the most right decisions possible.
Yeah.
And
to
hopefully like 30% of the time it works out for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, and sometimes you'll make the wrong decision and it works out because that's baseball. But that was not, in my opinion, the right decision by Ha-Sung Kim to lay down a bunt there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's nitpicky after a 4-0 win, and he did make that nice defensive play. But to get him going, you know, he needs to yak one in the gap and score two runs there. And he's absolutely capable of doing it.
Now, if we lost some of the audio, question is, do we still have the incorporator from Jesse Agler last night?
I was able to pull
that. Okay,
the
good.
Setup and the execution.
Great calls there from Jesse, especially on that Arise home run.
Did you hear his little snark early in the game when Jurickson and Profar came up? Jesse Agler said, "Oh, and the dozens of fans here boo him." I said, "God, I love snarky
he is
Jesse.
An assassin.
He is just boom. He will just get you, and you don't even expect it."
All right. So we had Jesse on yesterday. Every Tuesday, I gave him his incorporator word. Here's what it was, Jesse. Since you're heading back to Baltimore, scene of the original crime, I thought we'd do a little throwback, a food-related incorporator for today. But, of course, they've gotten much more challenging over the years. So, Paulie, if you would, please.
Fenugreek,
an Indian spice with bitter seeds and aromatic green leaves that have a maple-like aroma and are less bitter than the seeds. Fenugreek.
Ooh.
All right, fenugreek was the incorporator word for yesterday, and Jesse did accomplish the task.
Yeah, he texted me. He did it in the top of the ninth inning, and he said, top of the ninth, got it done, meh. He wasn't very proud of this one.
Oh, no.
I'll let you guys decide. I thought he was fine. I thought it was fine. But he said, I had a way to do it, and then there was a double play. The inning ended, and things just kind of went quickly after that. So here we go. Top of the ninth inning. Jesse Agler on the call. Coming back from commercial break.
Bottom of the ninth inning. Padres trying to close this thing out against the Nationals. The Nats, remember, have won three straight, five out of their last six. And the Pods here tonight have done it all different kinds of ways. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. One of those recipes that calls for a lot of ingredients, and yes, they have all been perfect here this evening. Starting pitching, relief pitching, a little power, a little small ball, and it adds up to a 4-0 lead. It's like one of those dishes that has the fenugreek and the curry and this powder and that powder. It's all in there.
Yep.
Yep.
Says Tony Clint Jr.
I like this. East County Chris says, what if you guys did song or rap lyrics for the incorporator? I could be swayed on that. I could absolutely be swayed.
Might be the next evolution.
Yeah, you never know. That was great. I thought he did a great job. He's always so hard on himself, but he's really brilliant.
It's all in there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all in there. Yep. Great. Jesse, you do a great job.
I see some people pointing out, including my mom, that Steve and Coronado probably happy that Ha Sung Kim laid down a perfect bunt.
Oh, he loved it.
But he got a perfect 10 score on the bunting scale for his bunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah, what was his grade on that? It would have been a bunt? 5?
I give it a zero.
I give it a zero.
Part of the grade is it's got to be situational based.
Yeah, man.
And you don't want to lay down a bunt there, even a perfect bunt.
The other interesting part of last night's game and post game is that apparently the Ben and Woods show caught a stray in Sammy's post game, and Paulie heard it, and he sent it over to me this morning, and we'll play that for you next. I have some thoughts.
Hour number two, take on Woods as well, just ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.